Thank you, Mr. Song Leader, and good afternoon, all of my brethren. I want to start by reading something from Proverbs. So if you have a Bible and you want to open to Proverbs 6, you'll be right in the place that I'm going to read. I'm going to open my Bible to Proverbs 6 just to show you that I can do it. Proverbs 6. And, you know, when I don't open my Bible, I forget that sometimes it takes just a little bit of time to turn to those scriptures. So I'm going to read Proverbs 6 and verse 6 in the New King James. New King James says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." I mean, you know, when you read this, you got to read it with some emphasis because that's the way it was written. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander." There's no commander ant, right? "No overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and it gathers its food at harvest." Nobody tells it what to do. You know, God put it into the ant's little ant brain what to do, and it does it quite well. It does it very well. This obviously is a metaphor, because you're not ants, and truth of the matter is, neither am I. But we can all learn from what is written here symbolically in Proverbs. Now, these verses tell us that if we consider the industrious ways of ants, we can learn some important lessons. Ants work hard. They work hard without complaint, and that work benefits everything in that ant colony. You know, they share. They work hard and they share. Let's continue and see what else we could learn from this particular selection of Proverbs. Just go down a little bit. Proverbs 6, verse 9, just a little bit below that. Now, "How long will you lie there, you sluggard?" Whoa, God gets kind of excited when he says that. "When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep? A little slumber? A little folding of the hands to rest? And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." Now, these words are diametrically opposed to what we just read before about the ant. They actually complete the thought of that other proverb. They contrast nicely. You know, God is into contrasts. He likes to, on this one hand and on the other hand, you know, and you put the two hands together, you get a pretty good picture. "Hard work does result in blessings. No work or little work results in poverty." These words are not just metaphor. They are, or they can be, stark reality. Now, I've taken these verses out of Proverbs without any prior explanation, but I'd like to ask you all, specifically, realistically, did they say anything to you personally? These words, when you read them in God's Word, did they talk to you? Do you think in your head, you know, this has been written for my benefit? Are they understandable just as they appear in your Bible? Now, to me, they speak loud and clear, and I am convicted by what they say. I think that they tell me to be like an ant and to proceed to do my work regularly and properly. Now, I know that most of you know me pretty well, And you know that I've been retired from ordinary work for, you know, I talked to Suzanne about this. Where is she? Oh, there's Suzanne, my lovely wife over there. And I asked her, I said, yeah, I've been retired 5 or 10 years. She looked at me and said, Doc, it's been 20. You haven't worked for 20 years. Well, she didn't say it exactly with that emphasis, but I heard it in my ears, you know, in my mind's eye, I heard it that way. And I went, so, does that mean that these verses do not apply to me? And I think not. I think these verses apply to me. So how should I apply them? Well, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to another scripture and let's see if it works out. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is not far from Proverbs. You don't have to flip over too many pages. Ooh, I said I was going to do it. Hope I turn the right way. Proverbs. Ecclesiastes. I found it. Ecclesiastes. This is my new Bible. This is my new fresh Bible, you know. My old one just automatically, I yell at it, and it turns the pages where I want to go. So anyway, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, and it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going... In the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. Whoa. 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 Kind of got my attention. Where you are going. Here in Ecclesiastes, we relearn, if needed, that we're all going to die someday. Brethren, I'm not the only one that this applies to. We are all headed toward the end of physical life. But this verse is not meant to be negative or downcasting at all. It is meant to stimulate. It's meant to stir us to action. You know, if you ever remember Spokesman's Club, they had a speech in Spokesman's Club called the Stir to Action speech, where you're supposed to get up and get people excited to do something, whatever it is, you know, and that's kind of what I'm giving you today is a Stir to Action speech. It is meant to stir us to action. Now, let's think of a different thought. Work that one over. How old was Jesus when he died? About 33. You know, when I was 34, I had just begun to realize that there was more to living than my own personal pleasure. I thought everything up till age 34, it was for me. God created me to be happy. He created my parents to have me, to give me everything. Ah! I was just beginning to learn that that's not what it was all about. And Jesus died at 34. Whoa, or around 34. You know, Suzanne and I had been attending San Diego Church for about 2 or 3 years at that time. We had watched and we had seen how many cooperated and helped in serving regularly. Maturity can come at any age. You know, some people are mature at 20. Some people are mature at age 10. You know, it can come at any age. But I'm telling you something right now. If it does not come to you, if maturity does not come to you, then you will be resurrected again in what is called the second resurrection. You'll have to learn it all then. We've been given a head start. We have the opportunity to be in the first resurrection. We don't have to go through that again because God doesn't want to lose anybody. No one. God wants to lose no one. And everyone will be given one opportunity to understand the truth, to accept it or reject it. Okay. If you understand what I'm saying to you right now, you must be like the diligent ant and work. Work as if your life depends upon it, because it does. It does depend upon it. Now, I'm not working for a salary job right now, but I do some things that my age and ability allow. And the reason I bring this up is because we need more help. Can you believe that? Right here in the local congregation, we need more help. We need more help in the local congregation. I see a new congregation worker right up there now. She's looking at me. I'm looking at her. And I want to state clearly and unequivocally that we have more women serving in the local congregation than we have men. We do. We do. We also have more women here than we have men, but, you know, that shouldn't stop any of us who are not dead yet, and I'm not, from serving. There are things that we have to do. I want to finish by telling a true story. You probably thought I'd go on forever, but no, I won't. I want to finish by telling a true story. It's a true story. It happened when Susanna and I first started attending the San Diego Escondido Church of God. They were together at the time. There were, how many people were in the San Diego Escondido Church of God? We met in one hall. I'm not going to call on Mr. Gardenhire, but I'm just going to, he said don't call on him, but one of the few that was here at the time, there were over 600 people in those combined congregations, because it was only one congregation at that time. 600 people. Anyway, it's not the point. Point was, we had two or three potlucks a month. Two or three potlucks a month. What we had to do is we had to pick up all the chairs. We had to put out tables. You know, they had to be set up. And then after the potluck was over, there were crumbs all over the place because I ate there, you know. But you had to sweep up the floor. You had to sweep up the floor. So this one time, and this was early on, early 1972, I saw these two old gentlemen sweeping, you know, pushing a push broom. A lot younger than I am now. But, you know, to me at the time, they were old. So I saw two guys pushing the push brooms, and I saw over the corner another push broom. So I went and I grabbed it. And I know how to push a broom. I was in the Air Force. I know how to push a broom, you know, not too smart, but I push a broom. The two gentlemen came over to me. They came over to me and they said, Mr. Miller, here I am, 34, you know. Mr. Miller, in the Church of God, it's an honor to serve. We will let you know when we want you to serve. So, gave him my broom. He said, okay, in a few more years before they talk to me. But I want to say, this is 2023. This is not 1972. If you want to help, we need your help. We do. We need you to volunteer, and we have deacons. I see one out there sitting in the vestibule protecting us from any interlopers that might come in. But we have deacons, and you can talk to them and say, I'd like to help out. I'd like to help out in a local church. I want to finish up by reading a couple of verses. Acts 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41. This is, Pentecost is coming up, as we all know. Acts 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41, then those who gladly received his word here is Peter's word. Peter was preaching on Pentecost, then the first New Testament Pentecost. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls. Incidentally, souls are living people, you know, they're not souls inside of you. Souls are living people. 3,000 people were added. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly, and listen to what they continued steadfastly doing. The apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread. That was, they ate meals together. Breaking of bread is really neat. We went to the Butler's last Sunday. We had a good meal together. It was a fellowship meal. We had fun. It was beautiful. It's what the new Christians, the New Testament Christians, did together after they were baptized. One last scripture. 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 6. It's another metaphor. I love metaphor. Mr. Gardenhire will tell you that. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give. Now, at the time, this was being talked about because the saints in Jerusalem, they'd had a crop failure, and they were talking about bringing food stuff. So Paul was encouraging to do that. But it doesn't matter whether it was foodstuffs or whether it was money or whether it was your time. They were being asked to give something. Paul goes on to say, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's God's word. I believe it. Brethren, we need to share our time and our effort as well as our money. As that elderly gentleman told me over 50 years ago, it is an honor and a blessing to serve, but we always need more reliable, happy servers.